KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberger. A rare Virginia earthquake had workers fleeing office buildings along the East Coast today. The 5.8 magnitude quake was centered near Mineral, Virginia.
Something like this, when it cracks the walls of your house and crumbles the chimney on top of your house, it was pretty powerful.
That is the vice mayor of Mineral, which is about 85 miles from Washington, D.C. President Obama was briefed on the quake. The White House says there are no reports of significant damage. Rebels have stormed the compound of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, but Gaddafi is nowhere to be found. Some rebels believe he's hiding somewhere underground in the compound. Dominique Strauss-Kahn is a free man. Sexual assault charges have been dropped against the former head of the International Monetary Fund after prosecutors decided his accuser couldn't be trusted. Stocks were rocked briefly by today's earthquake, but recovered strongly. The Dow was up 322 points. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Melissa Rayberger, NBC News Radio.
This is your town. You know it well. Or do you? Just inside your town is another town. A living social town. Cooler, hipper, and surprisingly affordable. Think zipline tours at 54% off. Belly dancing, 60% off. Eating, drinking, rafting, romantic getaways with wine and massages. It's not exactly a parallel universe, but it's a whole new town. So sign up for free at livingsocial.com right now and start saving at least 50%.
Check it out. Santa just updated his status.
Isn't he at a toy conference in Cleveland?
More like the Caribbean. Look at this picture. Claus is drinking a Pepsi at a pool party? Reggie, he's supposed to be drinking Coke.
Actually, that's just his December gig. When Santa's on vacation, he drinks Pepsi.
If the tabloids get a hold of this, they'll have a field day.
Look, another photo from Santa.
Blitzen drinking Pepsi in a hammock? What's happening?
Milton, my elf, I think you need a vacation.
This is how we do it.
This is a weekly test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. KCAA 1050 AM serves the greater Riverside San Bernardino area.
KCAA Loma Linda.
From the KCAA Weather Center for tonight, we'll have clear skies and breezy conditions, a low 65. West winds could gust to 20 miles an hour. Wednesday, we'll have another sunny, hot day. Expect a high of 102. Wednesday night, skies will remain clear with a low of 65. Thursday should be sunny and hot with a high of 102. Thursday night continues to be clear with a low of 68. Friday, we'll have another sunny, hot day with a high of 104. For the weekend, Saturday and Sunday both look to be sunny days with highs over 100. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind, NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
Good afternoon, it's 4:03. I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update. Brought to you by 99 Cents Only Stores. Start school with an A-plus in savings by shopping 99 Cents Only Stores. Pick up a 64-pack of crayons, a 30-pack of markers, and jumbo calculators for only 99.99 cents each. Now to the roads, the 215 southbound, sluggish from Center to Blaine. Meanwhile, on the 91 eastbound, that is slow from Weir Canyon to McKinley. The 10 eastbound, sluggish from Euclid to Cherry. And the 15 southbound is slowing down from Harupa to the 60. Currently, it's 98 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino coming up next. Right here on the station that leaves no listener behind, AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478. Or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about marketing and the family business. And if you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay, now when I talk about marketing and the family business, I'm picking up a little bit on what we discussed last week. We were talking about marketing and some of the innovative ways that you can reach other customers as a small embryonic business. The concept was through smaller businesses, you can help each other to grow into bigger businesses. But I also touched on a comparison of a computer guy with Best Buy. And the suggestion at the time was that with Best Buy, them being a bigger company, your business may not be as important to them. But with a small startup business, your business could be really important to them. Except, Gary, what's the danger when you deal with a small business?
We were talking about this before, and the danger was that business, that computer company, could possibly go out of business by the time you need them again.
That's right. So when you're dealing with the larger companies, what you're dealing with is the stability that you generally expect them to be there. They also have built their businesses on a strong reputation. But the guy who just started his business, what is his reputation?
That he just started his business and that he's looking for clients. He hasn't really built a reputation of any sort.
Okay, and that's not entirely true because presumably if he's going into the business, he has friends and contacts and perhaps business associates who know him from his earlier life when he was employed in the mainstream. However, when you're dealing with him and you don't know him from his earlier life, that's where the risk is. And where does your confidence in Best Buy come from?
Hearing from your friends and family who've gone there and their ads and the fact that they've been in business for a long period of time.
That's exactly it right there, the fact that they've been in business. There's an old saying that people who don't know how to do things generally don't succeed in business. Okay, the successful national firms have found a element of success, and perhaps they found a marketing niche in the consumers of the United States. And based on that success, they are able to build stores across the country and duplicate that success by repeating the same model. And what is Best Buy's basic model, Gary?
I can't think of their slogan or anything.
I don't know their slogan, but generically, they provide good, reliable equipment at a fair price, and they, I would assume, treat their customers well. I do deal with Best Buy, but I really don't deal with regular heavy stuff that they probably make their money on. I've gotten in the habit of dealing with people that I met on the way up, a computer guy in particular, who I met back when I was an employee. But from my view, he's the best I've ever seen, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. And when I buy my computers from him, I am also buying the priority of support because he's standing behind his equipment and he's also treating me as a valued customer. And I'm not saying that you don't get that same treatment at Best Buy, but what I am saying is when you're dealing with a small provider who does not have as many customers, he is able to treat each of those customers with greater importance. But anyway, every decision we make as a small business person is fraught with risk. Okay? When you find somebody who provides reliable service, you hold on to him because you need that. And as you continue to grow, it becomes more and more important. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. And today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about marketing and the family business. And you can check out our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Okay, again, we're talking about marketing through other providers, but I want to get into something that's a little bit more close to home, shall we say, when we start our business. Now, in the earlier broadcast, we've talked about the idea of when you start your business, nobody thinks you're a business and nobody takes you seriously. And sometimes, even as the business owner, we fail to communicate to the world that we take our business seriously. But while you're trying to convince the world that you actually have a business, okay, the people around you, the people closest to you, sometimes fail to recognize that there is actually business going on here. Okay? The problem with starting a business, especially in the family, has to do with what you give up to have a business. Okay? Now, not every person who starts a business is successful in his last life as an employee. But usually, it's based on that success or based on other skills. He's good at something. And the people around him understand that he's got that skill. But taking that skill and turning it into money is the whole challenge. And that's something that a lot of us have never tried to do before. We talked about marketing, and a lot of it in the early stages is marketing. And, as I said, doing the things on a day-to-day basis to communicate to our potential customers that we take our business seriously. And as we start recognizing business and start needing assistance, where does that assistance come from, Gary?
Ourselves or our family and those closest to us?
Exactly, our family. Now, and I'm not putting down spouses of businesses because this is a natural thing, okay? And in my own situation and in other business situations, when I decided to go into business, I gave up a paying job, okay? And that paying job was financial security to the family, not necessarily to the business, but that was how the mortgage was paid, that was how food was put on the table, and I just took a huge, huge risk by brushing that aside because I was going to find a new way to make money. Now, what would you expect to the from the spouse of such a person, Gary, that you've just thrown away all the security we have to go and shoot it out in the Wild West? Is that something that the family is generally going to embrace?
In a perfect world, yes, but normally, no. They're going to have some doubts. They're going to want you to, they like having that security, and they're going to they depend on you, and they want to be able to depend on you, but they're still going to have that little bit of doubt in them.
That's right. But in reality, okay, you're being really nice, not necessarily because you're a nice guy, but because you don't have the scars that go with it. The fact is, the new business and the family are natural enemies. Okay? One represents the opposite of everything the other requires. So it takes a very, very unusual character to go into business, and it takes a very, very unusual supportive family to stand by that person until the business is successful. Now, my family somehow has bridged that particular divide. But at the same time, it hasn't always been easy because there hasn't always been success. There has been financial hardship. But you can look back at all of these things and celebrate when you're successful, if you have time to celebrate. Or, in the case of many entrepreneurs, you can look at the business as what ruined his marriage or her marriage. So that's the kind of dynamics that we're talking about here. It's a life and death fight for individuality and for business success. And that's just part of the game. And in terms of the lack of support that sometimes an entrepreneur feels, it's not so much a lack of support as much as it is a lack of enthusiasm. We've talked about this in earlier broadcasts, that, you know, when you're giving up so much in order to do this, it is the enthusiasm, it is the optimism, and it is the belief that makes us do this. But it is the entrepreneur's enthusiasm that makes him do this. It isn't his family's enthusiasm. Okay? Now, the family, generally, out of love, helps with the family business here. Okay? But at the same time, it is not always a 8-to-5 commitment. It is a commitment to help when I have time, not like a real job. And a lot of times, in fairness, the spouse keeps the revenue, the money coming into the house, by working a real job herself for somebody else. And in many cases, financially, this is the food of life to keep the family together, to keep the finances together. And the funny thing is, as valuable as this assistance is, the entrepreneur, in many cases, resents the fact that his spouse or his or her spouse is working for somebody else when they could be working for me. But until the business is actually generating the revenue, this may not be the most realistic approach. But in either case, as we talk about these things, we are not passing judgment on one or the other. We are simply reflecting on the realities, or shall we say, the nature of the beast. The startup business is usually one person's business, or even if it's two persons' businesses. It is based on the gifts of one, or maybe the collective gifts of two. But when the gifts of one are the administration, sometimes they're glossed over as not being as important as the marketing side. And these are the same fights that go on in the larger companies. In the larger companies, the sales guys get all the perks and they get all the praise. But it's the rest of the company that produce the product and pay the bills and all the things that go with it that they get glossed over. So, turns out the big business isn't a whole lot different than the small business. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA Radio 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO, and I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about marketing and the family business. And when we return, we'll be talking about the daily grind. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 888-909-1050, or you can email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. www.thisisoutwithdick.com.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Little one at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Childproofing your home, childproofing your yard, childproofing your in-laws' home and yard.
Of all the things you can read to keep your child safe, the most important is attached to their car seat. Read the instruction manual and use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly. Learn more at safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Find out how you can live United for Education. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This entire piece of music is played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Sassy!
Today's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh no, a rattlesnake! Sassy, help!
You will, but first you want to talk about shelter pets? The majority of pets in shelters are there due to owner-related issues like divorce or allergies?
Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
The station that leaves no listener behind.
KCAA Loma Linda. News Talk Radio for the Inland Empire.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about marketing and the family business. And before we move on to the daily grind, I just want to cover a few things that I was just talking about regarding the family and the business. Entrepreneurs, being perfectionists, have a tendency to complain about a lot of things, and there's a lot of frustration that goes with it, and sometimes that's part of the problem. But the fact is that when you're the entrepreneur, you think you're the boss, and in many cases you probably are, but you also have a lot of the latitude. And when you're in a marriage, you're in a partnership. So what one partner gets to do, the other usually feels a certain entitlement too. So as I'm the boss of my business and I decide that I'm going to take a morning off and play golf, okay, it's not unusual for the spouse who's helping out in the business to recognize that from time to time when she wants to do something that she should do that too. That's called fair. in either case, when you're building a business, you have to deal with people just as if you had employees. And you have to meet their needs, and you have to meet the needs of the business. And part of it is just being real. Now, I have a favorite story that I was just sharing during the break, where I was at one point talking to my brother who started his own business about just different failings that I felt like I was experiencing. And he says, "You don't know what you're talking about." And he told me about a friend of his who couldn't get anybody in his family to answer the door for the FedEx guy because he was out with a client. And I know in my business, if something's being delivered to me by FedEx, that that's critically important. But as I said, it's the nature of the beast. You're dealing sometimes with the natural enemies of the business, and you can't expect certain things. You have a choice every day. You can use the help that comes from your family, or you can pay for it and hire employees. And when you hire employees, you have a regular salary, and there's a lot of other issues that go with it. Eventually, it's a natural element in growing your business. But a lot of times, it's a step we're just not ready to take. So we rely on our family. You got to take the good with the bad. From time to time, I've mentioned a video offered on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. The video is called Taking Your Business Seriously. It's generally a primer for budding entrepreneurs, but by viewing it, anyone in the earlier stages of a new business could avoid a lot of the mistakes entrepreneurs make in their first business venture. It covers everything from the elements of business formation, choosing a consultant, business planning, entity selection, payroll issues, employee relations, getting legal advice, the benefits of an accounting system, and the Capolino Rule of Six. Again, this video is available on the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com website. Okay, now let's talk about the daily grind. Gary, as we've talked about before, when you are running your own business, what time are you supposed to get to work in the morning?
About 8 or 9.
Yeah. If you think you're a real business and you're running like a real business, you're supposed to start when the business day starts. And when do you take a break for lunch?
11 or whenever you finish something during the lunchtime time period. So you take your 30 to 45 minutes off.
Okay. And do you take a 15-minute break in the morning?
Yeah, if you work long enough, you should take one.
Sure. Okay, and what time do you knock off at the end of the day?
Around 5 or whenever your office closes or whenever you finish the major task that you're working on.
Sure. Do you remember when you were little and I'd pick you up from school and I used to tell you that you had to respect the business day?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did you do at 5 o'clock every day?
I used to go up to you and tell you that the business day was over. It was time. It was family time. It was my time.
That's right. That's right. And I have to say that's one of my fondest memories because it showed a lot of what I was just talking about before, that you respected the business. You were my son. Obviously, it was based on love. And that's a beautiful thing. And at the same time, you were asserting your expectations and my obligations as your father to give you the attention that you deserve. That's what family is all about, and that's one of the beautiful parts of having your own business, that you got your kids all around you. When you're working for somebody else, you don't have your family around you. And that's a lot that you need to recognize. All right, when I was talking about, when I bring up the daily grind as we run through the schedule, I'm bringing that up because if you're late for work in your own business, is there anybody to tell you that you're late for work?
Maybe your family or your spouse, like you were talking about, who expects you to be at work.
Yeah, a lot of times your spouse can be your second conscious. But who's the boss?
You are.
That's right. So if you're going to be a little bit late for work, what's the difference? Okay. except that you end up with a little bit less done at the end of the day. Okay. Through my experience, I have found that my day has a tendency to erode. When I look at my billable hours, I notice a lot of times that my day doesn't start at 8 o'clock. Sometimes it starts at 8:15. Sometimes it starts at 8:30. Sometimes a little bit later than that. Now, a lot of that is because I do non-billable activities. Remember, when we own a business and we're the only one doing it, not only do we have the work that we do for our customers, but we also have the work we do for ourselves. Do you have any examples of the kind of work that we do for ourselves, Gary?
Yeah, like when you do it in the morning, you have to stop at the office. You have to see what emails or calls you may have gotten while you were away. You have to see what you need to do around the office, like what supplies are needed to get that you can tell someone to get for you. You need to just the basic administrative tasks of owning a business.
Sure. And what are the normal hours that you would make your phone calls in any business?
Between the 8 to 5 time frame, because you assume everyone else is doing business at that time.
Okay. And that's generally a good assumption. But something that I have learned from my own experience, and this is the conventional wisdom for salespeople, that when you're calling somebody at their place of business, because they're going through the same things that you do, you call them between 9 and 11, or 2 and 4. Now, why would you wait until 9 o'clock to call somebody?
Because I'm sure they don't want to be bothered at the very beginning of the day by somebody asking them something, or they need to finish their administrative tasks before they're actually ready to start doing their business.
That's exactly it. You want to catch them when they are ready to focus on business. Okay? Now, why would we stop at 11 o'clock?
You allow them to have lunch. You don't want to bug them while they're having lunch, because then they won't appreciate what you need as much. They'll be a little annoyed at you.
And why would you wait all the way until 2 o'clock to call again?
Because maybe you assume they took a late lunch or something. You still don't want to be bothering during that hour.
That's right. And once again, you want to get them when they are focused on business. And why would we stop calling people at 4 o'clock?
Because if you call somebody at the end of the day, they're more worried about getting off work than actually really caring about what you have to say. You want them when their minds can actually be 100% focused on what you have to say rather than being bothered or distracted by something else.
Exactly. Okay, now when you get to work at 8:30 or 8:45 and a client calls you at 9:15, what's he expecting from you?
He expects you to be pretty much ready to do your job and help him out the way you're supposed to help him out. He expects you to do your job.
And if you've just gotten into the office, are you giving him that level of attention?
You could be, but if you're that 30 or 45 minutes late, not the attention that they probably deserve.
Yeah, you give it your best shot, but you're probably not at your best. Okay, but in my own experience, while it seems, well, I've come to recognize that the biggest obstacle that I have to providing the services to my customers is the administration. And in the last 6 years, my wife has joined my business and has covered a lot of that administration for me. And it allows me to spend much more time doing the billable work. And, of course, we have both benefited from that. But the other thing that I have found, I mean, as I point out, I mean, you came up with good examples in terms of the email and the administrative tasks that I still have to do. But what I've noticed is that when I have hired people to work for me, and usually I'm not hiring administrative people, my wife very ably handles that. But when I hire other accountants to share in the work that I provide for my customers, what I've found is I suddenly do a lot more billable work myself. And it's not because that I have somebody else helping me. I'm talking about the time that I spend doing my work. And what happens is because I have an employee That is starting at 8 o'clock and will be there at 8 o'clock. Guess what time I get to work?
8 o'clock or before 8 o'clock.
Right. Now, I have a rule with my employees that if they're there at 8 o'clock and I'm not, they get paid from 8 o'clock. If I'm there after 8 o'clock and they're not, they get paid from the point that they arrive. And that's just another one of those fairness things, that we want everybody to be on time. But if the boss can't be on time, then there should be no penalty for anybody else being late. But what has happened is by bringing on employees, it gives me greater discipline to be what I'm supposed to be. I'm the boss. And if the boss don't live like the boss and set the example, it's just a bad example for the rest of the company. And that can be very damaging in terms of the communicated importance to clients. If you're not putting the importance on something and your employees recognize it as not being very important, and then they do the same thing in front of a client, that can be very damaging. And that's why it's important to do that. But anyway, the issue of the daily grind and sticking to a disciplined schedule, it's a never-ending battle. And all of us who have real jobs or who have had real jobs probably have noticed the same tendencies in those real jobs. Now, I got in the habit usually of getting to work early as a regular thing, but that had more to do with commuting issues. When I worked close to home, I had more time than ever getting to work, and I always tried to compensate for it by working late. But the fact is that the employer appreciated that they were getting their 8 hours a day. In the end, they really wished that I would just be there when I was supposed to. So these habits that we have as employees sometimes follow us to our small business. But they're much more important in our small business if we are going to be successful. Okay, there's something that's called best management practices. It's otherwise abbreviated as BMP. Gary, can you tell us what BMP means?
I'm not really sure what these are. I assume they're like just the basic rules of management to do what they need to do.
Okay. And what it really is, it's a set of things that you might call conventional wisdom, but there are things that everybody recognizes as the right way to do stuff. For instance, okay, when you write a check, you usually sign it at the bottom. When you're paying a bill, you usually inspect the bill to make sure that it's correct. Okay. When you buy a car, you usually look at it and make sure you can afford it before you buy it. These are the conventional wisdoms of the normal things you're supposed to do. Well, somewhere on this list of best management practices says that the boss is supposed to get to work on time. Okay? And the reason for that is, just like I said, it sets a good example. But at the same time, if you're not doing all of the things that you're supposed to do, that everybody understands you're supposed to do, to be successful, how are you going to be successful? Okay? If you're doing everything wrong, you're not going to come out right. And generally the approach is to be as perfect as you can. Because we're going to have our mistakes. We're going to have our problems. They're part of the game. But if we aren't doing the easy things right, we're not going to do as well on the difficult things. That's where the challenge is. And as your business grows to a different level, where things are suddenly, because of the volume involved, a little bit more complex, you want to be as good as you can. So get the easy things down while you're a small business. And when you get to be a bigger business, you'll have a whole new set of things to learn and perfect. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're talking about marketing and the family business and the daily grind. And when we come back, we'll be talking about small business accounting.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
In 1977, an 8-year-old boy picked up the game of golf from his father. The odds of that same boy winning the U.S. Open twice, 1 in 1.2 billion. The odds of him having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. Ernie Els encourages you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Ellen.
One night I was at a bar. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel.
I got a cab.
A squirrel ran across the road. I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I hit a guy.
The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I'm working two jobs, and my husband works, too. My kids go to school with your kids. I sit next to you at PTA meetings. We live right next door. We've been neighbors for years. You know my family and me pretty well, but here's one thing you don't know. I'm one out of every six Americans, and my family is struggling with hunger. Like you, we believe in this country. What's hard to believe is in the land of milk and honey, how many hardworking Americans have to choose between paying bills and feeding their families. This is a problem with a solution. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Real talk for real people, right here in the Inland Empire. We are 1050 AM, KCAA.
They say I'm crazy, but I have a good time. Life's been good to me so long.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. And today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about marketing and the family business and the daily grind. But now I'd like to move to a popular subject for accountants, small business accounting. Okay. The problem that I find quite a bit is that a lot of small businesses, when they get started, they just simply do what they're doing. And the accounting just kind of gets brushed aside. And what ultimately happens at the end of the year, the analogy of a shoebox full of receipts is taken to the accountant, and from that, the accountant is supposed to prepare his tax return. And a lot of times the tax return is the only accounting records and the only, quote, books of a company. Okay, but what is a tax return good for, Gary?
It lets you know how you're doing, along as letting the government know how you're doing. It lets you know how much money you're taking in, how much money you're putting out, and it lets you know where your money's going. It kind of just helps you understand your business a little better.
Okay, and when is the tax return prepared?
At the end of the year, or fiscal year, depending on whatever.
Yeah, well, after the end of the year, I guess, is the better reference. But when is the tax return due?
April 15th, or what is it, 3 months after the fiscal year?
Actually, it's 6 months. It's 3.5 months after the end of the year, and it can be extended for 6 months. And from what you've seen, when are most tax returns generally prepared?
Right before the deadline.
That's right. Okay, so let's just say that you file your return by the due date of April 15th. Okay, so now it's already April of the following year, and you're getting your first financial results from the year before. How does that help you run your business?
Probably would have been good to help you run your business 3 months prior, but something may have happened within that 3 months. It just kind of lets you know that you're just a little behind, so you kind of need to be preparing it as the year goes rather than just waiting for the last minute and just doing business for a whole year without really trying to get the input from the accountant.
Okay. And in my business, how frequently are financial statements generated?
Monthly.
That's right. Okay. So around the usually what we do is we reconcile our bank accounts and then we produce financial statements. Okay. Now, granted, in a professional services firm, the information may not be as meaningful. But at the same time, if it's prepared in a timely manner, you can immediately recognize what your financial issues are. Okay. Now, for the people who rely on their tax return as their only financial information, if they have some kind of a problem. And the funny thing is that usually, what's the biggest problem when you file a tax return?
If you may owe more money than you expected.
That's exactly it. Okay. And so, aside from anything that has meaning in terms of how much money you earned, okay, suddenly you owe taxes. Okay. Now, when you do it in April, and you suddenly realize that there's a difference between your earnings and the tax estimates that you've made, which for those of you who are new to a business, that's another element that you need to get into, the sooner the better, and that is to estimate your taxes so you don't get hit with a big tax bill that you can't pay after your first tax return. But if you do your taxes in April, how much time do you have to get things right for the new year?
Less than 15 days or 3 months if you file an extension.
Right. Well, if you're doing it in April, you have 7 to 8 months to do something about it, or a year before your next return would actually be due. But, as you said, if you wait until October for the extended due date before you actually do your return and find out where you are, okay, do you know what the estimated tax payment dates are, Gary?
No.
Okay. They're April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th. So when you file your tax return on October 15th, how many estimated tax payment opportunities do you have?
Three?
Well, no, three of them have passed you.
Oh, okay, and then one.
So you only have one, okay? And ultimately, you need to do it all at once. And there is a penalty for having failed to make the first three estimates. But if preparing your return is your first opportunity to even realize that you're behind in your taxes, how many changes do you think you can make in the last 2 months of the year to get it right?
Not too many.
Okay, so you have a better chance of getting it right for the following year. But if you thought, as we're sitting here in 2011, if you thought 2010 was rough, wait until 2011 comes up. And if you're a growing business, chances are you made even more money in 2011, and you haven't even given a thought to your taxes yet. So this can be very heavy, if not deadly, for the small business. So the idea here that we bring up as we talk about small business accounting is that instead of waiting for the tax preparer to calculate your tax at the end of the year, perhaps what you should do is keep ongoing accounting records so that you know on a regular basis how your company is performing financially, and you also maybe can start approaching the subject of estimating your taxes. Okay, the fact is, even in a small business, the calculation or the estimation of what your income will be at the end of the year is not very difficult, even if you're doing your own taxes. Now, these days, if you're doing your own taxes, what are the usual tools that you would use?
If you're doing your own, you use what you know about your company. You just basically do it kind of by hand if you're doing it yourself, just about.
But do you use tax software?
If you're doing it on your own, usually not.
But actually, there are a couple of very popular tax programs that people use. And the way they function, the one I think of, there's two of them. The one that I'm most familiar with is TurboTax. But the fact is that you can, in running the program, it kind of asks you questions and functions like an interview. And you answer those questions and you prepare your return. But as you're sitting here in October, or actually we're only in August, but all right, so now we're sitting here in August. We're approaching the September 15th estimated date, and you have accounting records. So your accounting system can tell you what your profit so far this year is. And why don't you just take the software that you used last year and just run it again in a separate file as if that's the tax program for this year? How many questions in the tax software are there about what your earnings from self-employment are?
I don't know.
One. Okay. Actually, it'll walk you through, if you're a sole proprietor, it'll walk you through the Schedule C. And ultimately, there's several questions. But in the end, when you get to your Form 1040, which is the main tax form, you only enter one amount on one line that is the profit from your business. Now, if there are people in your family who have a job, like your spouse, and she has a W-2, you can take her pay stub and you can enter the amount that she's earned. Now, a lot of times it makes sense also that if you worked for 8 months of the year and you have a pay stub, you would probably multiply that by a factor of 1.5 to get what the annual number would be. And you would probably do that with your own business profits as well. If you have a business and you've made $20,000 for the year, you would enter $30,000 because that would be a 12-month estimate of how much you've earned. And what that will ultimately do between entering the same number, not so much the same numbers, but the same items that were on your tax return last year, for this year, you can estimate what your year-end taxes are going to be and compare that with the payments that you've made already. Okay? This is not a very difficult thing to do. If you can run your tax software for yourself when you do your own taxes, then you can do it again this way. Of course, as an accountant, I would recommend that you work with a tax preparer or a CPA. And well, I guess CPAs are tax preparers too. But anyway, the idea is that if you have this information coming out of your company and you use that information, you can protect yourself against the unseen taxes that you could ultimately owe and not be prepared for. It also gives you a little bit more time for planning and perhaps even budgeting to recognize the effects of your business. Okay, I've mentioned before self-employment tax. So it's not just income tax that you have to worry about now. It's self-employment tax. So what self-employment tax is, what you would remember from when you were employed, it is Social Security. It's the equivalent of Social Security. But when you're employed, you pay half of it And you may not know this, but your employer pays the other half of it. When you are self-employed, guess who's the employee?
You are.
And guess who's the employer?
You are.
So you pay both halves of it. And that actually is the biggest bite of tax for a small business. And there's something that is spoken about quite a bit these days in the political realm as we talk about the issue of who's paying taxes and who isn't. And the fact is that when they give you these percentages of people who are paying income tax and not paying income tax, the fact is that many of these people who are not paying income tax are paying self-employment tax, and many of them are paying both sides of it. So the information that's out there is not as straightforward. The people who are knowledgeable about it understand what's being said. But the idea that half the country isn't paying taxes, it's just plain not true. They pay Social Security taxes, and they pay self-employment taxes. And a significant part of the federal budget these days is Social Security. So it all comes together. Anyway, on the subject of small business accounting, there are plenty of packages out there. Probably the most popular one is QuickBooks. QuickBooks is a relatively simple program. My own experience with it is that when people try to use it without the assistance of an accountant, it does generate functional information, but not necessarily as good as if an accountant did it. And a lot of times you can find a specialist in QuickBooks, be it a bookkeeper, a CPA, or anybody else that has knowledge of it, but they can usually install it and train you on it, although I would lean closer to the bookkeeper or the accountant for this particular area. But the concept of the accounting software mostly has to do with you do with your computer what in the past you have done with your hands. We all know how to write checks and to pay bills. And when we write a check with our hands, that's all we do. But when we use a computer to produce a check, at the same time you're writing the check, it passes all the accounting entries. Okay? The same thing with generating invoices. There are lots of invoice programs out there. And they make beautiful invoices. But when you allow your accounting system to generate an invoice, not only does it keep track of your accounts receivable, but it also passes the entries. It records the sales, it recognizes the receivable, and when you receive a check, if you enter it into your accounting system, not only does it post it to the bank account, which you'll later want to reconcile, but it also clears the receivable and recognizes that it was paid. Anyway, this takes a lot of the weight and a lot of the manual administration off of the shoulders of the small business person. At the same time, it provides a much cleaner record and much more complete record for the tax preparer. Now, there's two things that we are interested in. We do want to know how we're performing, and we also want to pay as little tax as we can. But if there are no records, your tax preparer has very little to work with. All he can do is just look at the activity in the bank account and try to figure out what everything is. Okay, this is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO, and we've been talking about marketing and the family business, the daily grind, and small business accounting. You can check out our website at takingyourbusinessseriously.com or email us at gary@takingyourbusinessseriously.com. Our special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Tune in to us next week, and we'll once again do our best to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio. This is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your local news. Now here's what's going on at 5 o'clock. San Bernardino Congressman Joe Baca says most of his Capitol staff lives on the East Coast and have never felt an earthquake like the one that struck today. Baca compared their reaction to 9/11.
Panic. It's still panic that's out there. People are, you know, have jammed. They're seeing the roads crowded, people walking all over the place. It's more like the movie Independence Day that I've seen, where everybody is just running all over the place and not knowing where to go. And the lack of communication.
Congressman Baca says the drills that were imposed after 9/11 helped his staff prepare. But with telephone service interrupted, texting by cell phone was the only way to maintain some communications. A controversial fire tax passed by the state legislature and signed by Governor Brown is in for a modification. State Board of Forestry and Fire Protection has voted to slash the annual levy on rural property owners from $150 to $90 for those living in extreme fire zones. San Bernardino County voters may get a chance to end the county's long-running era of corruption. The Committee to Reform San Bernardino County Government has launched three initiatives. They would curb taxpayer costs, promote ethics reform, cap campaign contributions, and change the pension system. Committee spokeswoman Sharon Gilbert says the county supervisors are incapable of making changes.
And they can't seem to clean it up on their own, so it's time the citizens took back the government.
And put it in the people's hands to do that and not leave it to the Board of Supervisors, I take it.
They've been given chance after chance, and it just gets worse.
The initiatives would reduce the supervisors' salaries and make their jobs part-time. When the petitions go into circulation, backers will have 180 days to gather the signatures of more than 43,000 registered voters. A grocery workers' strike could be called by the